want to be happy today? The Bible says that a happy person finds wisdom and gets understanding, but it warns us that wisdom of this world is foolishness in God's sight. But the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Elizabeth Elliot has spent decades helping women understand the wisdom of the Bible. Welcome to Gateway to Joy. Be challenged to live wisely as you hear once again from your friend, Elizabeth Elliot.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, talking with you again today about a chance to die. For those of you that haven't heard the last couple of talks, you have no idea what that title means, but it's the title of a biography of an Irish missionary to India whose name was Amy Carmichael. She was born in the 19th century, she died in the 20th, and she wrote 40 books. The biography is named A Chance to Die because of a phrase that she used to use. Whenever things cut across our natural desires, see in it a chance to die. Well, I want to tell you a little bit more about the life of this remarkable woman, Amy Carmichael, who founded what was called the Donavur Fellowship in India. When she was only 3 years old, she had a lesson in the deep mystery of prayer. She heard from grown-ups that God answers prayer, and so she decided to test that statement and thought of the one thing in the world that she wanted more than anything else, which was blue eyes. She knelt by her bed before she went to bed one night, and she prayed that God would change her brown eyes, which everybody in the family had, into blue eyes. She went to sleep in perfect confidence that God had heard her prayer. She jumped out of bed in confidence that he had answered. She pushed a chair over to the dresser, climbed up, looked in the mirror, into the same old brown eyes. And as she told the story years later, she said she really didn't know whether some adult said these words to her or whether it was just God himself that put into her mind this question. Isn't no an answer? For you that have received no as an answer to your prayers, think about that. God did hear you. The answer was no. What Amy Carmichael couldn't possibly have known at the age of 3 was that she was going to be a missionary in India. She was going to want to be identified with the Indians, dress like them, look as much like them as possible, and even on a few occasions dye her skin to be more like the Indians in order to save her own life. And if she had had blue eyes, it would have been a dead giveaway that she was a foreigner. Of course, God always knows what he's doing. She tells the story of how she and her brothers went out into Strangford Lough, which is a section of the sea on the Irish coast, and they were rowing against the tide, which is said to be the second strongest in the world. Suddenly they found themselves swept toward the bar. Amy was steering, her brothers were rowing as hard as they could, but they were powerless against the current. "Sing," her brothers called out to her, against the wind and the waves. And so Amy, with all her might and main, began to sing, "He leadeth me, O blessed thought." I love that scene of Amy, this child, standing there in the boat singing, "He leadeth me." And she was careful to remind her children that God had not led her to disobey her grandmother in going out into that worst part of the tide. But God, in his mercy, did bring them home. She was educated by a governess who taught them the stories of the great martyrs Latimer and Ridley. And Ridley's last words were, "Be of good cheer, brother, for God will either assuage the fury of the flame or strengthen us to abide." These two men were burned at the stake, and Latimer's reply was, "Be of good comfort, brother Ridley, and play the man. We shall this day light such a candle by God's grace in England, as I trust shall never be put out." Those men's lives helped to shape Amy Carmichael's. She claimed that there was probably no happier child in all of Ireland than she. She lived a peaceful childhood life. They had buttered toast and raspberry jam for tea by the nursery fire. She remembered the soft soughing of the wind in the chimney, the sound of her mother's sweet, sweet singing, the pony rides along the beach, the tree climbing, the swim in frigid seas. Then she was sent to school in Yorkshire, in England, at the age of 12. She was terribly homesick, and she was comforted by a lily that was blooming there, just thinking of the fact that if God cared for the lily, God would care for her. She said that her teachers were mostly mediocre. They didn't know how to make the subjects shine. But somehow or other, she managed to learn a few things. Now, I want to tell you this charming story about the year of the comet. It was the year 1882, which was not the year of Halley's comet. She doesn't name what comet it was. But she went on behalf of the girls in her dormitory to request permission of the principal to stay up to see the comet. "Certainly not," was the verdict. Missing the celestial show was simply not to be borne. So Amy tied threads to the toes of each of the girls, promising to keep awake and give them a yank as soon as the rest of the house was asleep. At the signal, they all crept to the attic, holding their breath when a step creaked, and they found themselves face to face with the principal and teachers. We had time to see it beautifully before anyone had recovered sufficiently from the shock of our arrival to order us back to bed. That was a woeful night for me. I was sure I would be expelled, and that would break my parents' hearts. Happily, that did not come to pass. There was a rather solemn hour next morning. For the matter of threads tied round toes showed such purposeful audacity that it could not be passed over. It was taken for granted that I was the ringleader, but in the end, I was forgiven. She tells about the one watered moment in all of those three arid years when she attended the Children's Special Service Mission meetings and heard that lovely little children's hymn by Anna B. Warner, "Jesus Loves Me. This I Know, for the Bible Tells Me So." In those quiet minutes, she said, she understood what she had not understood before, that there was something else to be done. All her life she had known of Jesus' love. Her mother had often told her of it, sung to her about it, and Amy had, as it were, nestled in Jesus' arms as she had nestled in her mother's. She realized now, at the age of 15 or so, that she had not opened the door to him. "In his great mercy, the Good Shepherd answered the prayers of my mother and father," she wrote, "and many other loving ones, and drew me, even me, into his fold." If I'm talking to someone who's been listening to me day after day, hearing that verse, "Underneath are the everlasting arms," let me say to you that you need to be sure that you have received, opened the door to the one who stretches out those everlasting arms to you. You must consciously and deliberately accept him. Amy Carmichael moved to Belfast with her family because of financial difficulties a few years later and had to leave boarding school. And shortly after that, her father died when she was 18. She tells us nothing at all about her feelings about that or the sorrow that came over the house, but she threw herself into serving other people. And she became, in fact, a second mother to her younger brothers and sisters. She was the oldest of seven. But then there was a decisive moment that determined the direction of her life. One dull Sunday morning, this mighty phrase, she says, was suddenly flashed as through the gray drizzle, God was speaking to her. She and her brothers were walking home from church. They came upon an old, ragged lady struggling along with a bundle in the rain. They went to help her carry the bundle. They were red with embarrassment and shame as these proper Presbyterians were coming out of church, seeing these children struggling along with this rag lady or bag lady. But she said it was suddenly flashed, as through the gray drizzle, these words, "Gold, silver, and precious stones. Every man's work shall be made manifest, and it shall be declared by the fire. Fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. She shut herself in her room that afternoon. She settled with God that from then on, the aim of her life would be building in gold, silver, and precious stones rather than wood, hay, and stubble. She began a children's meeting. She had a prayer meeting for schoolgirls. She worked with the YWCA. She had a class at the church for the mill girls. She made an effort to learn about their lives, but she was afraid that all this activity might turn out to be nothing but wood, hay, and stubble. Yes, that's exactly what it would be without a holy life. And so she began to ask the question, how to be holy? Is there any hope for me? Come back and we'll talk more about Amy Carmichael.
As Elizabeth has said, anything if offered to God can and will become your gateway to joy. Elizabeth Elliot has been sharing timeless truth with ladies for many years, drawing insight from her Bible study and her experiences as a wife, mother, and missionary. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliot. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network, Charlotte, North Carolina.